Let's just pray before I bring some thoughts today. Our gracious, loving God, we hear your word and we ask, Lord, that you bring it fresh to us. That you bring us fresh and a new understanding for our lives. Lord, may you speak through your word into our lives again today. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Now, we are in our last week of having our walk through the book of Ephesians. And I hear everybody going, "Aw." Oh, there you go. I heard it. we've been taking our time and walking a little bit more slowly through this book of Ephesians, just taking section by section. And we come to this last part. And I'm sure many of you will have heard a message or two about the armor of God. Anybody heard a message about the armor of God? How many people have heard a message that what was really about what are the various aspects of the armor of God and what they're used for and how we can put it on? Yeah. I'm not going to do that today. Okay. So I was thinking, you know, it was one of those kind of times when I was thinking, what am I going to say? How do we wrap this up? Do I just go back into and going, oh yes, let's just go through the armor of God and talk about, you know, all the various aspects of this? And I went, no, because it's actually, there's more to this. There's more to Ephesians than just having a look at this passage and going, oh, this is what we need to do. So, just reminding ourselves that Ephesians have, what the Apostle Paul has been doing has been trying to encourage us and show us that our lives are reshaped by hearing the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Our lives are reshaped because of what Jesus has done, and we should reshape ourselves. And hence, you can actually see why the armor of putting on the armor of God is important. But it's about that reshaping, and it's about what Paul is trying to do here. And in this very final part of this letter to the Ephesian church, Paul is reminding us to equip ourselves. I'm going to place ourselves in here. Equip ourselves for the life ahead. If we claim ourselves, if we say we are Christians, we are followers of Jesus Christ, this is about equipping ourselves for doing this. Paul has been reminding us throughout this letter that the gospel is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. He's also been showing us that the covenant family, the original family that in the Old Testament was the Jewish nation, that original family has been expanded because of what Jesus has done. And the covenant family is open to all. Paul has been showing us that the gospel has implications of how we live. You know, 2 weeks ago, we had a look at what it might mean for living a life within our family, what it means to live a life a couple of weeks back within the community of faith, what that actually means and how that flows out. Because the gospel reshapes our lives. The gospel changes the way we treat others, the way we shape our relationships. The gospel changes our lives on a spiritual realm as well. And this is where we're looking at it. Let me just share with you Ephesians 6:12, and I'll put it on the screen for you. If you're following in your Bible, just look that up for us for a moment. It says, "For we are not fighting," and this is where Paul is saying, yes, your relationships you have within your family, the relationships you have in the church, all these things are physical realities, things that we have, but we also have a spiritual reality here. We also have a spiritual reality where these things are, you know, at war with one another. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. See Paul, the Apostle Paul here is reminding us that the battle that we are facing in our life is not merely a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. We live in a world where unseen forces are at work, influencing thoughts, actions, and circumstances. So and I loved how Gail brought us into the prayer today. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to think for yourself. I'm going to give you a little bit of time just to think. What are some of the unseen circumstances, unseen influences that are affecting your life right now? What are some of the things that are physical, but there are also spiritual battles? What are the things that are influencing your life? I'm just going to pause for a moment and let you reflect. If you feel like it, close your eyes and think through your life. Think through your life about what are the things that you are being challenged with. Maybe it's something that, you know, you're addicted to. And it could be food, it could be alcohol, it could be tobacco, it could be video games, it could be scrolling through social media, where there's a compulsion that you just have to do it. And that pushing to take you beyond God's providence in your life. What I want you to do is name this for yourself. Name that in yourself of what things you can see that are influencing you, that are drawing you away from God's will and providence in your life. Now you've got that in your mind, I invite you, if you've closed your eyes, open them up for a moment. Open them up, because what I want you to do is hear this. That as followers of Christ, we are not called to retreat in fear, but to stand firm, equipped for the fight that is ahead of us. We're not to cower back from those influences that want to take us away, but we're to stand firm against those influences. Let's hear what Paul says in Ephesians 6, verses 13 to 17, and how he phrases this. And it says this, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand." Notice that you're standing there, holding your ground. And some would say that the evil is here right now. So you're willing to stand your ground? Are you able to stand your ground firm? And it goes on, it says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You can see that there's the armor of God there for you. And just having that, you know, we've been hearing about the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, and we're taking this on, that Jesus has already paid the price, already won us, already brought us into the family if we're willing to say yes to Jesus in our life. And it's claiming that as part of us, putting that on for ourselves and holding that there for us. And the thing I wanted to do when I came to this section and reading it through again is realizing that Paul has been very clever in the way that he has written this letter to the Ephesians. He's writing to both the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. He's trying to encourage them to take seriously what it means to live out the gospel call on their life. He's trying to encourage them to look beyond just the physical, but there is a spiritual battle going on in our lives. And he's wanting the believers to be able to stand there and stand firm and push back against those spiritual forces that want to take us away from God's providence. And he does this by actually referencing, using the words from Isaiah, and I'll share these verses with you in just a second. He actually uses referencing back to Isaiah about the promises and the attributes of the Messianic King. So about the Messiah. And let me share this with you. So in In Isaiah 11:5, it says, righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Can you hear that? Can you hear the language that Isaiah is using? And he's using this to describe the Messiah. And what are the attributes of the Messiah? A little bit further on in Isaiah 48 verse 2, it says this, and he made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the sword of his hands he hid me, and he made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. In Isaiah 59, 17, it says, and he put on righteousness on his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garment of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal in a cloak. This is all attributes that have been given to the Messiah, the King that is to come. And we know who that is. That is Christ. That is Jesus. And so what Paul is doing here by bringing us into that understanding of what it means to put on the armor of God, it holds there and it gives that memory back to those that know the Old Testament scriptures that this is talking about the Messiah. So he's referencing back to the Messiah and saying, this is what we need to put on. Put on the attributes of what is the Messiah. Let me spin this for you a little bit mean. It means to actually be more Christ-like in your lives, to actually be more Christ-like in your life. The things that Paul is talking about here, the attributes, is a battle dress. Let's not move away from that. Let's actually put that. There's a battle dress that Paul is talking about here and Isaiah is talking about. It's actually talking about the protection that you get from that. And one interesting thing here is in that ancient world that we have there, the battle dress included armor, which basically gave a measure of protection from injury that happens there. If you actually have a look at all of those things that you're putting on the armor of God, you'll notice that everything there, all of those attributes are for protection. There is only one offensive thing there. What offensive is being striking out, and that is the sword. Everything else is there for protection. So when Paul is saying to stand firm, it's about protection. What do you put into your life that protects you against those unseen forces, against those things that cause you to move away from God's providence in your life? Protection for our spiritual battles. I want to ask you, what are your spiritual battles? I got you to think about what are those unseen forces, what are those things in the world that are happening around that are drawing you away. But what are the spiritual battles that you are facing? And let me just share with you this little thing. In the Discipleship Journal, it actually asks its readers to rank the area of greatest spiritual challenge to them. And the results come in this order. And number one thing of the spiritual battle, and this is in a Western culture, so you actually have to understand the Western culture is sitting behind all of this, and we are part of that Western culture. Number one spiritual battle for people in our Western culture is materialism. How do people feel about that? Do you think that is actually something that is we struggle with? Saying me when my mobile phone no longer had battery power to get through, you know, a full day, you go out and you upgrade it. Materialism. But it's not necessarily about owning those things. It's about seeking to want those things all the time, driving yourself to have more and more and more. That you are actually made by what you own. That's materialism. That you have sense of worth by what you have. We know that is not true, don't you? You know, it doesn't matter what house you live in. It doesn't matter what place you have, what car you drive. It doesn't matter what phone you're doing. It doesn't matter what clothes you have. God loves you and sees you. know that in your life, that you are not defined by what you own or what you wear. You are defined by Jesus and Jesus' love for you. That's number one. The second one is pride. Anybody ever battled spiritually about pride? It's a really funny question because you go, nobody's prideful enough going, yes, that's me. You don't want to boast that you're prideful, do you? So we all humbly go, no, 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 yes. And then we're quietly going in our head, yes. Let me say we all struggle with that. It's something that we go, you don't want anybody to feel and put you down and feel bad about yourself. You actually go, I've got some sense of worth. And let me tell you, you do have a sense of worth. Everyone. It's when you place yourself above others and above God that that becomes the prideful nature. When you think you are the only one that can do it, rather than saying, look around you. Look at the gifts and skills that God has given all of his people and putting that up. The third one is very much linked to that, and that is self-centeredness. So the self-centeredness in there is being one of the biggest spiritual battles. They're the top three, and then let me go through a few more. The next one is laziness. You know, and it's not just matter of fact that you are lazy, not going out and doing the gardening or doing the housework. It's about laziness in your spiritual life. That is the biggest spiritual battle where you go, actually, oh, it's just easier to get my phone and scroll YouTube or Instagram or whatever it is rather than read the Bible. That's spiritual laziness. When there's a draw to, and let me say, there is a battle going on, and I want to actually say this, there is a battle going on for your attention. All of those things work on algorithms that will pique your interest, but not only pique your interest, it actually gives you a dopamine hit. And your body reacts to those things. And it's trying to draw you in more and more, and you're going, I want to just look at this, I want to look at this, I want to look at this. Has anybody ever got to the point where they have spent most of the night scrolling through things? And the reality is yes for people. Some of you might be going, oh, I have no idea. But the answer, yes. It just feeds you. It just feeds you. And it's something that you need to learn, that if we're spiritually lazy, we'll go to that rather than to the Word of God, rather than to prayer, rather than to reaching out in acts of service for people. There's those things. There's a tie for fifth here, and that was anger and bitterness and sexual lust. They were the ones that were tied together of things that are spiritual battles for people. And then we've got envy, we've got gluttony, and then lying. So they're the top 8, 9 that are there that people responded about. These are the spiritual battles they have. But they also noted this. And I thought this was interesting for us to actually really reflect upon for ourselves today. Those that we responded to this about their spiritual battles said that temptation came to them more when they had neglected their time with God. So 81% of people actually said, if I neglected my time with God, then I was more likely to succumb to that temptation in this spiritual battle. 57% of people, let's hold that there, neglecting time with God. 57% of people also said when they were tired, they succumbed to temptation. They also then went on to resist the temptation. 84% said, I come into prayer. So when I feel that something is tempting me, when I feel that I'm coming into a moment of spiritual battle, they stopped and they prayed and they asked for God to help them in this moment. Avoiding compromising situations, that's a pretty good one. Coming into Bible study, being accountable to somebody else. You know, if we're really wanting to, you know, get over a temptation or those kind of things, this is where life group and being accountable to others and asking how your life is going, how are you going within the battles that we face in our life, those things are really helpful. All of those things are important, and this is what it is. When we think about the armor of God, that belt of truth, that breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of salvation, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God, we actually see that it's actually those things that are the nature of who Christ is. Paul is wanting us to make these attributes our own. Paul is wanting to make these attributes you talk about, that are the attributes of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ, make them our own, because we make up the body of Christ. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. So shouldn't we put on the attributes of Jesus in our life? If we are the body of Christ, we are the church, then we should put on those attributes. Paul means for Christians to begin to form habits. Habits proactively, using prayer, using the scriptures, using the Bible, that is, in relationship with others to help them grow and mature as followers of Jesus. That is what Paul is wanting us to do. Paul summarizes this gospel story throughout all of Ephesians. He's trying to draw us here, and as he's doing this, he's trying to draw all of those believers in Ephesus to stand firm against all that life is going to have against you. Stand firm in your journey of faith. Step up and become more like Jesus in your life. Put on those attributes of Jesus in your life. So let's, as a church, let's just stop and do what Paul said. Let's pray. Let's pray for the situations in our life when we are facing spiritual battles. Let's pray for situations in our life when we are finding it tough and circumstances are trying to draw us away from Christ. Let's just pray right now, that we may be reshaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we can hear your word, and we give you thanks that all those years ago, the Apostle Paul saw the need to challenge us, to encourage us, to step up in our faith, to put on the attributes of Jesus Christ himself in our lives, to know that we are saved, to hear the word found in your holy word in the Bible and help it to apply to our lives. Lord, even in this year of 2025, in the modern era with AI and all of the various things that are happening in our life, Lord, we need you. So today, Lord, we ask that you be with us. You draw us close to your love, to your grace. May we know the salvation is only won through you, Jesus Christ, in our life. May that spiritual power be there in our life. Oh Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.